for this week. Wednesday night, we're in 1 Peter, and now we're chapter 4, verse 1, beginning at 6. Alrighty, come join us. We're having a great time sharing God's Word. Next Sunday, the Moses Mirror in our 2020 vision in 2020, continuing in Genesis, and then following. And also next Sunday, that's going to be the 15th next Sunday, right? It's the 15th. It's our monthly food and fellowship fair, so remember that as well. And church council meeting a week from Thursday, not this Thursday, but a week from. We'll remind you that next week. And I think that's it as far as announcements. Am I forgetting anything? Anyone know something I don't? Okay. Front of your bulletin has the scripture reading, as usual, from Daniel and Deuteronomy. It says he reveals, doing him proud. I think you have him trained to bring the basket back to you. That's right. He did all the work, yeah. Should be able to keep it. Yeah. All righty. How precious. Okay. Jim, are you in the right place? Okay. All right. Okay, then. Just checking, making sure. Okay, we are continuing in our theme for the year, 2020 Vision in 2020. We've been in Genesis for a few Sundays. And back and forth with various things the last couple months. And we have looked at the examples of Genesis gleanings, people who had 2020 vision back then. We started with Adam and Eve, Abraham, Hagar, Jacob. And today we're going to make a connection with Jacob and his son Joseph. You remember that Joseph was one of the youngest, not the youngest. Benjamin came after him later. But Joseph was kind of a favorite of Jacob's, and so it set up kind of an interesting thing for Joseph's life, that he had some special vision of God that was a blessing for himself and for others, his whole family, in the end. And so it will help us to see with 2020 vision, first of all,
For those of you who weren't here last week with Jacob's dreams, you know that my hang-up with alliteration, so I said, go ahead and say dreams.
Sounds like a J to me. It's not a D, it's a J, right? So, Jacob's dreams, Joseph's dreams. Just get over it, would you? We want to look, first of all, at Joseph's Jesus. Yes, there's some real interesting parallels, similarities between Joseph and Jesus, and we're going to see that as we look at Joseph's dreams. Genesis chapter 37, beginning 5 through 11, please, Alan.
Joseph had a dream, and when he told it to his brothers, they hated him all the more. He said to them, "Listen to this dream I had. We were binding sheaves of grain out in the field when suddenly my sheaf rose and stood upright, while your sheaves gathered round mine and bowed down to it." His brother said to him, "Do you intend to reign over us? Will you actually rule us?" And they hated him all the more because of his dream and what he said. Then he had another dream, and he told it to his brothers. "Listen," he said, "I had another dream. This time the sun and the moon and 11 stars were bowing down to me." When he told his father as well as his brothers, his father rebuked him and said, "What is this dream you had? Will your mother and I and your brothers actually come and bow down to the ground before you?" His brothers were jealous of him, but his father kept the matter in mind.
His father kept the matter in mind. That's a key phrase to understand, because if we look back, Jacob had received a blessing from his father Isaac, very similar to Joseph's dream. And so even though he may have been a little offended at what Joseph was suggesting these dreams would mean, he kept it in mind. And this is a foreshadowing as well of something that we see in Mary with Jesus when he is born.
And so, ironically, we want to see that connection that Jacob was perhaps making at that point. We saw the blessing from Isaac in Genesis 27, verse 29. Just read that part, if you would, Alan.
May nations serve you and people bow down to you. Be Lord over your brothers, and may the sons of your mother bow down to you. May those who curse you be cursed, and those who bless you be blessed.
So Jacob had received this blessing from his father, Isaac. Now Joseph has a dream that sounds almost identical to that blessing. And so Jacob is keeping this in mind. And then we see the foreshadowing of when Jesus was born and Mary's thoughts about that in Luke.
But Mary treasured up these things and pondered them in her heart. Then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart.
Yeah. So she treasured these things. There were things being revealed when Jesus was born that, of course, Mary didn't fully understand, but she knew some special stuff was going on here that God would reveal fully as time went on. So we see that foreshadowing from Joseph's experience and Jacob's. So you remember the story. The brothers hated Joseph because he was the favorite of Jacob, and Jacob had given him the coat of many colors, and so when he came up with these dreams, they decided that's enough, and they sold him off to slavery in Egypt. They took his clothes and dipped him in animal blood, showed his father that Joseph had been killed by the wild animals. So Jacob thinks that Joseph is dead. All right. Many years later, of course, Joseph is there serving in Pharaoh's household. Pharaoh's wife tries to get friendly with Joseph, and he resists, and she accuses him falsely. He ends up in prison. There's a couple other guys there from Pharaoh's court, a baker and a cupbearer. They both have dreams of their own, and so it's in that time that Joseph not only had his own dreams, but now he's going to be experiencing other dreams. Pharaoh has some dreams of his own. We're going to get back to the dreams of those two guys and Pharaoh, but I want to keep the connection with Joseph and Jesus. So Joseph gains favor with Pharaoh after interpreting his dreams, becomes second in command of all of Egypt, and sets up this time of storing and supplying grain while there's 7 good years, and then, as you remember, the famine of 7 years. During that period of time, of course, Jacob and his family are still out there. They've got nothing to eat. They hear that there's grain in Egypt, and so his brothers come to Egypt to get this grain. They don't recognize Joseph when they come to the one that's supposed to give them grain. He recognizes them, but they don't recognize him. And this is where we pick up the reading in chapter 45.
Then Joseph could no longer control himself before all his attendants, and he cried out, "Have everyone leave my presence." So there was no one with Joseph when he made himself known to his brothers. And he wept so loudly that the Egyptians heard him, and Pharaoh's household heard about it. Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Is my father still living?" But his brothers were not able to answer him, because they were terrified at his presence. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "Come close to me." When they had done so, he said, "I am your brother Joseph, the one you sold into Egypt. And now do not be distressed, and do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you. For 2 years now there has been famine in the land, and for the next 5 years there will be no plowing and reaping. But God sent me ahead of you to preserve for you a remnant on earth, and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So then, it was not you who sent me here, but God. He made me father to Pharaoh, lord of his entire household, and ruler of all Egypt. Now hurry back to my father and say to him, this is what your son Joseph says. God has made me Lord of all Egypt. Come down to me. Don't delay. You shall live in the region of Goshen and be near me. You, your children and grandchildren, your flocks and herds, and all you have. I will provide for you there, because 5 years of famine are still to come. Otherwise, you and your household and all who belong to you will become destitute.
Yeah. Some parallels here, some similarities between Joseph's response to his brothers and what Jesus came to offer. Instead of taking revenge on his brothers, you know, they were terrified. They thought, oh, well, this is it. We're going to die. He said, come close to me. When Jesus came, he said, come unto me, all you who are labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. And he said, it wasn't you who did this. It wasn't you who did this. God had this all in mind. God is working through this. God's the one who brought me to Egypt so that there could be a great deliverance and that you would be saved yourselves as well. Reminds me of Jesus on the cross, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Even in crucifying Jesus, he already had, and it wasn't them that are doing it. God had this already in mind. He knew what was going to happen. He sent me here for a great deliverance. And so we hear the echoes of what Jesus says on the cross in what Joseph is saying to his brothers. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. There's that great deliverance, and then he also tells them that they will come there, and they will be able to live in the best part of the land. He'll take care of them. He'll meet all their needs. God has put him in a place where he can do this. How amazing is that perspective that Joseph had, rather than desiring to take revenge, seeing that God was working through that. I hope we can gain the same Joseph, Jesus-like perspective in the things that deal with. And sometimes even when we are mistreated, sometimes if we're unfairly treated, that we can have the Joseph, Jesus perspective and attitude and know that God can work through us if we will have forgiveness, if we'll have mercy, if we'll have grace. That's what I see Joseph offering to us. So Joseph sends his brothers back to his father, says, tell my father, tell dad that you're all to come here and I'll be taking care of you. And so they do that. And remember, Jacob thinks that Joseph is dead. And so Joseph tells them what to tell him, but God, knowing that he probably wouldn't believe them, confirms to Joseph, Jacob directly in a night vision in Genesis 46.
And God spoke to Israel in a vision at night and said, Jacob, Jacob. Here I am, he replied. I am God, the God of your father, he said. Do not be afraid to go down to Egypt, for I will make you into a great nation there. I will go down to Egypt with you, and I will surely bring you back again. And Joseph's own hand will close your eyes.
Yeah, pause there if you will. And so God spoke directly to Jacob. How again? A vision in the night. We see that 20/20 vision that he had experienced before, experiencing again. And he says, don't be afraid. I will make you a great nation there. The blessing that Isaac had given to Jacob is going to be fulfilled through Joseph, establishing the family in Egypt, and of course we know that they will eventually go back to the promised land, and all of that will transpire. And he says, and Joseph's own hand will close your eyes. And I like to think that God's promise to us when we die, or when I die, if we're dying in faith in Jesus, Jesus is the one who closes our eyes. He's the one that has taken care of us. He's the one that fulfills all the promises. And I want to think that Jesus is the one, not some funeral director or some doctor or EMT guy. It's Jesus who's closing my eyes when the time comes. Go ahead then, Alma, with the other part.
So Joseph settled his father and his brothers in Egypt and gave them property in the best part of the land, the district of Ramses, as Pharaoh directed. Joseph also provided his father and his brothers and all his father's household with food according to the number of their children.
And so there he was able to fulfill what he had told, bring dad here, bring the whole family here so I can take care and all this will fulfill what God has designed. So then, Jacob, when before he passed, was able to pronounce over Joseph what I see as a Jesus-like blessing in his life in Genesis 49.
Joseph is a fruitful vine near a spring, whose branches climb over a wall. With bitterness, archers attacked him. They shot at him with hostility, but his bow remained steady. His strong arms stayed limber. Because of the hand of the Almighty, one of Jacob, because of the shepherd, the rock is of Israel, because of your father's God who helps you, because of the Almighty who blesses you with blessings of the skies above, blessings of the deep springs below, blessings of the breast and womb. Your father's blessings are greater than the blessings of the ancient mountains, than the bounty of the age old hills. Let these rest on the hand of Joseph, on the brow of the prince among his brothers.
On the brow of the prince among his brothers. On the brow of Jesus, Prince of Peace. Almighty God, Everlasting Father, the Vine, the Shepherd, the Rock, all these names that are listed in Jacob's blessing for Joseph are again just foreshadowings of what Jesus would eventually come to be in fulfillment of all of those things. And so we have Joseph Jesus in those dreams. Secondly, we look back then at the dreams that Joseph interpreted for the cupbearer and the baker and Pharaoh eventually. And we see with 20/20 vision what we might call the dreamer's diviner. What's a diviner?
An
a what?
Interpreter.
Interpreter, yes. And of course, interpreting especially things of God or from God. Divine, having to do with God. All right? And so who is the diviner for these other dreams? Is it Joseph or is it someone else? Genesis chapter 40. We go back to when Joseph was still in prison.
Sometime later, the cupbearer and the baker of the king of Egypt offended their master of Egypt. Pharaoh was angry with his two officials, the chief cupbearer and the chief baker, and put them in custody in the house of the captain of the guard, in the same prison where Joseph was confined. The captain of the guard assigned them to Joseph, and he attended them. After they had been in custody for some time, each of the two men, the cupbearer and the baker of the king of Egypt, who were being held in prison, had a dream in the same night, and each dream had a meaning of its own. When Joseph came to them the next morning, he saw that they were dejected. He asked Pharaoh's officials who were in custody with him in his master's house, "Why do you look so sad today? We both had dreams," they answered, "but there is no one to interpret them." Then Joseph said to them, Do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me your dreams."
Do not interpretations belong to who? To God. Joseph was where he was at because he had the proper perspective. He had 20/20 vision on things. He wasn't going to brag and say, "I can do that." Do not interpretations belong to God. He said, "Tell me your dreams." So God reveals to Joseph the meaning of these dreams, the cupbearer, the baker. The baker, unfortunately, will lose his life. The cupbearer gets promoted. He goes back to Pharaoh's court. Pharaoh has a couple of dreams of his own. Nobody can interpret it. All the sorcerers, all the diviners, so to speak, that were there, nobody could interpret it. The cupbearer remembers that he had kind of forgotten about Joseph, remembers what Joseph had done there. He said, "I know somebody who can." And so Pharaoh brings Joseph to his court, and we pick it up in Genesis 41.
Pharaoh said to Joseph, "I had a dream and no one can interpret it. But I've heard it said of you that when you were that when you hear a dream, you can interpret it. I cannot do it, Joseph replied to Pharaoh, but God will give Pharaoh the answer he desires. Then Joseph said to Pharaoh, the dreams of the Pharaoh are one and the same. God has revealed to Pharaoh what he is about to do. It is just as I said to Pharaoh, God has shown Pharaoh what he's about to do.
All right. So several times there, Joseph had a chance to say, yeah, I can do it. I can interpret dreams. I interpreted those dreams. I can interpret your dreams. But in every instance, of course, he says, I can't do it. But there is a God who can do it. And so he said, God will tell me your dream, and he will tell me what it means for you. And so he gives credit to God every time, gives it back to God. Very important lesson for us to learn. God is going to be able to use us. He wants to use us in unusual and special ways. Only if we are always careful to remember and have the proper vision like Joseph had, it's not me, it's only God. He's the one who does it in me and through me. And believe me, through all the years, the older I get, the more I understand that. And I am more in awe all the time that God can and does use this here. So sometimes, just in my sense of humor, I kind of, But I truly know what it's all about. And this is the reason God knew he could use and trust Joseph in this. And so we learn that lesson ourselves. And so then he goes on, and we see this same understanding and truth about God, both spoken of in Deuteronomy and when Daniel comes on the scene. And they affirm this, the very same truths. Go ahead, Mike.
The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may follow all the words of his law, of this law. He reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what lies in darkness, and light dwells with him. I thank and praise you, God of my ancestors. You have given me wisdom and power. You have made known to me what we asked of you. You have made known to us the dream of the king. Daniel replied, no wise man, enchanter, magician, or diviner can explain to the king the mystery he has asked about. But there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries. He has shown King Nebuchadnezzar
that one. Yes, well done.
What will happen in days to come? Your dream and the visions that pass through your mind as you were lying in bed are these. The king said to Daniel, surely your God is the God of gods and the Lord of kings and a revealer of mysteries, for you were able to reveal this mystery.
All right. Since you had such fun with that name, I think we should have a little more fun with it. Sorry, but I can't help myself. Okay, let's all say Nebuchadnezzar. Never can squeeze her. That's what I heard growing up as a kid. I don't know. Remember if it came from Dad or someone else. It helped me remember kind of how it's pronounced, Nebuchadnezzar, never can squeeze her. So just remember, never can squeeze her, okay? It worked for me. That's my offering for you today. A great revelation, isn't it? Huh? Okay, never can squeeze her. So the king said to Daniel, surely your God is the God of gods and the Lord of lords and kings and revealer of mysteries, where you were able to do this. So Daniel also is faithful, as with Joseph was, had the same perspective. God could use him as well to reveal the things that he needed to reveal. So both God and Daniel in that instance are honored. Daniel was elevated as well as Joseph was. When God uses us, we honor him, we lift him up, we give him the glory. He's going to raise us up with him. Jesus said that we will reign with him. I mean, it's beyond belief, but it's the way it works. And we've received honors and attributes and praise and glory sometimes in ways we shouldn't have. But that's only a result of allowing God to work in our lives. And so I want to encourage each and every one of us today, keep God's perspective. Joseph, Jesus, Daniel, whole, we can go on and on and on. And honor him. Give credit to God, and you'll get your just due, all right? It's not that we do it for that reason, but that's just the way it works. And this is what we see here in Joseph. So finally, back to Joseph again then. Honoring God also led to the honor of him in the end. This is in Genesis 41.
The reason the dream was given to Pharaoh in two forms is that the matter has been firmly decided by God, and God will do it soon. And now let Pharaoh look for the discerning and wise man to put him in charge of the land of Egypt. The plan seemed good to Pharaoh and to all of his officials. So Pharaoh asked them, "Can we find anyone like this man, one in whom is the Spirit of God?" Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Since God has made all this known to you, there is no one so discerning and wise as you. You shall be in charge of my palace, and all my people are to submit to your orders. Only with respect to the throne will I be greater than you."
All right. So again, God honored Joseph because Joseph had honored him. And so Pharaoh puts Joseph in pretty much charge of everything. Only I will be above you. And we still have Jesus above us, don't we? In that sense, the parallel is the same. Only with respect to the throne will I be greater than you. So the question for us today then is, can we be used by God like Joseph was? The answer is yes, we can, if we are like Joseph, if we keep God in his place, if we allow God to use us, if we have the same spirit of love and mercy and forgiveness and all of that that he displayed just like Jesus. If we have, like he had, and Pharaoh noted, is there anyone like this man within whom is the Spirit of God? That's how he recognized what Joseph was able to do. In this man is the Spirit of God. That's why he's able to do this. And that's my desire, and that's my response to God's word. Yes, Lord, use me like that, only if I allow your Spirit in me. And so we can be renewed and reaffirmed in that today in our response. There's a hymn, old familiar hymn, that says, "Open my eyes that I may see glimpses of truth thou hast for me. Place in my hands the wonderful key that shall unclasp and set me free. Silently now I wait for thee, ready, my God, thy will to see. Open my eyes, illumine me, Spirit divine." Right? That's the only way it happens. And so that's my prayer. I invite you to respond with me as we stand together and sing, "Open my eyes that I may see." As always, the altar is open. We desire to pray here.
Open my ears, illumine me, Spirit.
Yes, Father, I pray that you will open our hearts, the eyes of our hearts that we can see, so that you can accomplish in us and through us what you desire, as you did with Joseph, as you've done with so many. May we fall in that great line. Thank you, Father, that as we open our hearts and our minds, you do open our eyes, and we can have your perspective on things. And we can be a blessing to others and pass on those blessings. As always, Lord, the desire of our hearts is to be just what you created us to be and made possible through your Son. And so we commit and surrender ourselves anew to you today. Thank you, Father, that we can also commit to you those that we are concerned about for different reasons and are not able to be with us today. We think of Sue, and we think of Linda, and Tom and Cheryl, for Carl and Joanna, Lula, others I'm probably forgetting now, but you know, and so we just entrust all these to you. We're thankful, Lord, to know that you're with those that aren't able to be with us today, and we pray your special blessing in whatever their need may be. Situation is, and thinking of Don also. Thank you, Lord, that we are able to as well just lift up the ongoing concerns of helping hands and healing hearts that we're privileged to be a part of, and the needs that are out there that oftentimes we're not able to meet, but you know, and you can make provision as we continue to follow your guidance and direction and blessing. Thank you, Lord, that you are always listening to us and receiving what we offer to you. And now those that have other expressions of petition or praise. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Father, and bless Mike and Brooke and their continuing care of him. And pray your provision for all of their needs.
Lord, I lift up Nashville, Tennessee.
Yes. Thank you, Lord.